Hearst Ranch is a proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. The Hearst family has been raising cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of California's Central Coast for over 150 years. Piedra Blanca Rancho in San Simeon is the original Hearst Ranch, founded by George Hearst in 1865. George's son was the famous publisher William Randolph Hearst. In addition to being known for building the iconic Hearst Castle, William was, like his father before him, an avid rancher. In his words, "I would rather spend a month at the ranch than any place in the world." Thanks to one of the largest land conservation easements in California history, a joint effort with the California Rangeland Trust, the American Land Conservancy, and the state of California, the working landscape at Hearst Ranch will be preserved forever. Learn more about Hearst Ranch at HearstRanch.com.
Welcome to HRN on Tour. This is Christine Sykes Lowe, and today I am joined by Jessica Thomason.
Hello.
I'm super excited to be talking to Jessica. Jessica is my friend, and we actually work together at Echo Mountain, meaning I have an office there, and she is the studio manager there. But Jessica is also a general badass of sorts. She is has such an amazing career history, just not only through her work through Echo Mountain, but Jessica also founded a festival called Connect Beyond, and it's based in Asheville, North Carolina. And can you just go into a little bit of detail, because it's coming up in a few weeks?
Yes, it is coming up in 2 weeks, and I'm really excited about it. So Connect Beyond Festival is, the best way to describe it is like it's a TED Talk meets your favorite tiny desk concert meets Sundance Film Festival. And so it's music, film, and literature, but it's all about art creating social impact. So there's panels, performances, workshops, screenings of unreleased films, and it's a really great mix of creators from all different disciplines coming together. And that's part of a big part of the festival too, is we bring people together that have never met and put them in a room together, and
Great things happen.
Yeah.
So when did this start? When did it originate?
It started in 2018. Okay. And yeah, and so we had two really great years. 2020, we had this amazing lineup of programming, just really, really strong content of films and speakers and musicians. And we were the big first event to cancel in Asheville in March of 2020.
And like a lot of people in events and just entertainment in general, just, you know, the next 2 years was like, lost history, basically. So
yeah, exactly. We did transition to doing some online things. It definitely took me some time to want to warm up to that after putting so much time and energy into something. But, you know, then we transitioned. We actually started an online book club, which is now an online multimedia club. And then we started doing a bunch of virtual screenings. The last one we did was actually Summer of Soul, the film that just won Best Documentary at the Oscars.
Which is amazing. And actually, funny story, I remember Jessica, she literally came into my office one day. She's like, "I just got this as a screening." And I was like, "What? What is it?" And it was just right before it even came out, right?
Yeah, yep. It was one of the premieres that they had. And that was really exciting for us, because that was a partnership with Searchlight Pictures and Disney. And so, and then we did a live Q&A with the filmmakers and Gladys Knight, who's in the film, after the screening. So it was a huge opportunity for us. And that was the last virtual thing we did. Now we're coming back to in person this year.
So the festival this year is the dates again?
April 22nd and 23rd. Okay. And it takes place at a multiple venues in town. And we are really excited about what we're bringing
in. So tell us a little bit about the talent you're bringing in for the panels and some of the other programming.
Sure, yeah. So we have some really great films this year. In fact, we have this great documentary that's Disney's next big thing, and it's called Miha, and it follows the story of this young artist manager named Doris Munoz, who was representing a Latinx artist that blew up, and then the pandemic hit and she loses him as a client. And so it's about her quest to find the next big artist, which is what the film's about. And we actually have the artist from the film, Jax Haupt, who is going to be here and is going to be performing as well as the Orange Peel and also be a part of the Q&A for the film. We also have the director, this amazing, amazing filmmaker named Isabel Castro. And I'm so excited because that's a really huge get for us. And let's see, what else do we have? Oh, Megan Toohey from the New York Times. So Pulitzer Prize winning investigative journalist from the New York Times, Megan Toohey, who co-authored the book She Said. And it's about her investigative journalism with her partner, Jodi Kantor, that broke the Harvey Weinstein story. And so, and now the book has been turned into a film. They're in post-production. So we're going to have a conversation with Megan Toohey about the process of just the journalism component of it to creating the book and now the adaptation to film.
Well, that's very timely. I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And it's a really amazing get for Asheville. I feel like, I mean, just to be able to bring somebody like Megan Toohey into town. And then we have this other really great artist named Propaganda, who's also, he's an author, activist, rapper, and he's got this really amazing podcast called Hood Politics. If you haven't heard it, it's worth checking out. And so he's going to do a live podcast recording with Dr. Natalie Hopkinson, who's teaches graduate studies at Howard University in media and culture. She's been co-founder of the Don't Mute DC campaign to make go-go music the official campaign, the official music of Washington, DC. And there's a day called Pushy Woman Day, named after her and Cora Berry, for their work in DC dismantling the redlining in public arts funding. So she sits on the public arts and culture commission for DC. And so she's just an all around badass. These two people do not know each other, by the way. So this is us putting them
together.
But
that's the best magic, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And so you're going to be able to, like, you're going to see this magic on stage together for the first time. And it's just, and she's just got this amazing talk about being 100% disruptive, and that's who Nat is. And everybody needs to know who all of these people are that I just mentioned. And it's just, it's awesome.
Well, I know that you also had another exciting development about a collaboration with a certain name that's
yes.
pretty big in the entertainment world. And what is that?
So we have a partnership now, or we have a collaboration with Sundance Collab, which is the part of the Sundance Institute that is for creators. And so they have 150,000 members all over the world. And it's really about creating communities and opportunities for creators. So we're going to be doing some programming together. So for instance, we're going to do a Storytelling for Impact panel that's going to have a filmmaker on it, a musician on it, a visual artist, somebody from the nonprofit world, somebody from the academic world, basically talking about how to make storytelling, how to create stories for creating an impact, right? And that's kind of what the festival's all about anyways, is being the platform for that.
For social justice, basically.
Yeah,
correct?
For social justice, right, yes. Exactly. Like telling stories of people who don't necessarily always get a stage or a screen and that sort of thing. You know, Miha's a big example of that, for instance, which everybody will know this film in a year. I guarantee you everyone will know what this film is and what it's about. And so, yeah, so this is a start of a bigger partnership together. You know, they were going to continue to do events down the road, continue to basically create programming that people can learn from and share content back and forth, share creators. And, you know, and Sundance Collab has, you know, a fellowship program. That's where the Chloe Zhao's of the world, you know, that directed Nomadland, to Taika Waititi that did Jojo Rabbit, have come out of that. And so Sundance has done a really wonderful job about creating opportunities for people through their program. And we're just really excited to be a part of that. They're excited to be a part of what we're doing. And so it's really cool. I'm excited because, you know, this is just the start of it. And so sky's the limit. And
sky really is the limit. And yeah, I think you mentioned that you're trying to go for like year-round programming of some sort, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. We already have some things in the works. There's a couple other things that are in the works for 2022 into 2023. I mean, I'm working on one thing right now that's even going to happen after Connect of 2023, which sounds crazy.
It does sound, it sounds awesome, quite frankly, after the past few years we've had, to be able to look that far in advance and
so much. And that's the other thing too. We have another partnership that we're creating with Taylor Guitars, and we're going to be doing a show called Epic Convergence, which is working with a bunch of musicians. And it's kind of a songwriter in the round sort of thing. We're putting these artists together again that don't know each other. They're going to have an opportunity to spend time in the studio the day before they perform together to see sort of what comes out of that. And Taylor Guitars is going to help to sponsor that and bring some resources in, guitars and things like that. And then our plan is that the festival will be a launching off point for these artists, and we want to create other opportunities for them down the road. So it's the pilot will happen here at the festival, and then our plan is to take that show on the road and try to do incarnations of that in other cities like Atlanta and Nashville, and then have the artist come back and record down the road here at Echo Mountain, and then, see how we can help these artists that are typically marginalized in the music industry get ahead.
Now, speaking of Echo Mountain, for those listening, I'm not even going to start delving into a description, because I have the woman who knows up down and front and backwards in front of me. So tell everybody about Echo Mountain, how amazing it is, and what it is, basically.
So Echo Mountain is a commercial recording studio that opened in 2006, and we have hosted, what's funny is I actually went through and looked the other day that we've had 825 different clients in the last 16 years. Now, keep in mind, some of those are like school groups and things like that, but we've had a variety of clients here, from Band of Horses to Avett Brothers, Manchester Orchestra, War on Drugs, Flogging Molly, Steep Canyon Rangers, Steve Martin. That's just to name a few. And I'm so proud of myself for remembering all.
I'm impressed too.
Because I always forget when people are like, who's recorded there? I'm like, I don't know.
People should know.
But it's just, I've been here so long. Like, this is my home.
Yeah.
Right. So I feel like I live here.
But you know what? That's what's so great. You were saying, everything from musicians to school projects and things of that nature. But that's really kind of the bread and butter. And that's what's so awesome about Echo Mountain is they support the community.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a huge part of our mission. I mean, we're the biggest studio in town. And I really pride myself on there not being egos here, meaning that no matter who you are, you get treated the same way. Now, sometimes the snacks are a little bit better for Steve Martin, but he's paying more than the third grade class that's coming from Hall Fletcher Elementary School. You know what I mean? So like, that's the difference. But yeah. To me, and as even when I'm doing studio tours for students and things like that, I look at those students as someday they may be clients, someday, they may be amazing musicians in their own right. And I hope that they come here because they remember the experience and how they were treated, So that's been a part of our mission from the very beginning. And we do amazing projects. Like, one of my favorite things is the Heartbeat Sessions we're getting ready to do. Again, we work with Arts for Life, this great organization. And what we do is we record the heartbeat of a sick child, and we bring a band in and use their heartbeat as the backing beat to their favorite song.
Oh, wow.
And so Melissa Hyman from Arts for Life, who's a dear friend and just amazing individual. This is her idea. She's got a stethoscope that's got a microphone she can record with.
Are you trying to make me cry? What's going on here?
I'm telling you, this has been one of the best parts of my life, right?
That's so amazing.
And so we record it and film it, the whole process, and then we give it to the kids and their parents. And I'm sad to say that some of the kids did not live, but now the families have this thing, this video, this song that's a part of their child. And some of the kids are doing amazingly well and are in recovery, and they have this thing that they can,
It's eternal.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, those are the sort of things that we always make time for as well.
So, aside from the client list and what you all, the capabilities here, explain the history of Echo, because I think what makes it unique is the visuals that are around, everything with this church.
Yeah.
So we
have two studios, and one is housed in the original Salvation Army of Asheville. And then it was a dance studio for 30 years. I actually took salsa dancing lessons in here 23 years ago. And then the other one.
I've had people say to me, I think I took ballet in there once.
Yep. And apparently Mikhail Baryshnikov danced here.
Well, that's cool.
In this studio. And then we have an old church that was the first United Methodist Church. And so both are from the early 1900s. Both buildings are on the historic registry. And so it's really cool that we have given a new life to these buildings that have been here for a really, really long time. And then the same thing is, so we're full like vintage analog recording studio with also, of course, digital capabilities because it's 2022. But we have a lot of old gear here. So we have our console from downstairs, our recording console, came from A&M Studios C room. And so we know that Captain and Tennille's Love Will Keep Us Together was done through that board. Joni Mitchell and Robbie Robertson both mixed a bunch of records through the console. All the Cheech and Chong records were done through the console. And then we have other pieces of outboard gear and things that came from Abbey Road Studios. Some mic pre's that came from the Rolling Stones live truck. And so it's kind of cool. There's a lot of history here.
Now, we're going to give you the website at the end here, but do check it out because it's visually stunning. It's everything you would think of in an old church turned into a music studio. Basically, it's the stained glass, it's the high ceilings, it's the hardwood floors. So it's really quite a special place.
It is my home. That is for sure.
Well, we, you and I, we both have a deep love of food. So I want to just talk about Asheville in general, because what's really cool about producing a festival here is that you have this built-in tourism component of just, obviously you have the outdoor activities, you have the stellar art scene, part of which you are included in that. But the food scene here, when you have musicians come through, when you have this, this is part of the deal.
Oh yeah. So let me say, it is not hard to get people to come here for my festival because people want to come here because of the food and art scene. Right. So when I'm bringing in these people that are like Emmy Award winning, Pulitzer Prize winning, Academy Award winning creators, they're like, oh yeah, Asheville? Yeah, I want to go to there. And the food is a huge part of it, And that's also, it's what's important to me is curating experiences for people that come here. I mean, I'm asking all the creators to stay in town on Sunday and I'm just curating experiences for them to connect but also to connect with Asheville. And that is a huge part of it. Food's a huge part of it. I mean, I do a catered dinner every night after the festival everybody comes back to the studio and hangs, and there's food from, and I put a lot of care into those things, and what people are eating. And it's definitely not a bunch of pizza boxes, I'm like, oh, I can't do, it's gotta be something that's easy to transport and do and all that. Cause somebody's got to come and set it up at basically 10 o'clock at night. But I'm like, oh, but I really, how's Indian food going to be? I'm like, can I get chai pani at 10 o'clock at night? Is that what people want to eat? But it's also it's so good,
That would be a heavy yes.
Yeah. I think so, And so, yeah, it's, I love that. I love that. In fact, I'm going to an art opening tonight. Sue Willie's got a art opening at Horse and Hero. And I'm excited for that. I'm equally excited about where I'm going to eat tonight, because I also going with bringing a new friend. His name's Charlie, that just moved to town from LA. And I'm like, where am I going to take Charlie to eat?
Where are you going to take Charlie to eat?
Okay, so it's tourist season is already insane for this right now.
Do we even not have
So let me just tell you, like, last night
not
I
was we're complaining.
No,
but, you know,
no, it's I'm like, not, no, yeah. no, no. We need it, right?
Yeah.
Because this is why we have all these amazing restaurants to choose from. So I literally was on Open Table last night just to see what's still available, like where we could get into. And I have to say, like, my tried and true is the Marketplace, which is the last place I ate with you.
I know.
Yeah. Which I just have to laugh because it's so good. And I was looking, I'm like, oh, there's still reservations, which means I could probably get in and sit at the bar too, which I love
like
to do.
Yeah. Belly up to the bar. There's always an option there.
But then also it's funny. Cause so again, I was walking around today. I was another new transplant to Asheville. This guy who's a longtime artist manager of some really big bands just retired here. And so I was like, let's walk. And we walked around and I walked by Limones and I was like, ooh, maybe I can get in there tonight. You know, maybe it, like, and I love the bartender there. He's, you know, he's absolutely hilarious. Sean.
They have great drinks there
and their
too.
Drinks are amazing. Yeah. And I'm like, ooh, I wonder if I can get in. And also I looked it up and I was like, they did have a reservation at 9:30 at night. And I was like, I mean, I'm not scared to wait till 9:30 to eat.
No.
But yeah, so, I mean, those are some of my favorite places. And also I go way back with the Marketplace from when Mark Rosenstein used to own it. And
yes,
he used to let me wash the rock climbing holds in the dishwasher, which I can say now, cause that was so long ago and nobody would be like grossed out by that. But
I worked with Rosenstein on a couple of things. And, my biggest memory from him, well, first of all, anyone listening, Mark Rosenstein was sort of like, the originator of the farm to table movement here. He was one of the original pioneers. He opened the Marketplace. I think it was in the late 70s or early 80s.
Long time.
Yeah. And he was one of the first people that, you know, put down brick and mortar in a restaurant in downtown Asheville when Asheville was just re-becoming sort of, you know, it had a long way to go to where it is now. And he actually, I didn't know if you knew this, he's a he dabbles in pyrotechnics. Did you know that?
No.
Yes. I went to a party at his house and he all of a sudden brought out the homemade fireworks. And, you know, it was like, oh, yeah.
Wow.
You like that stuff. It was pretty cool, actually, though. But
I mean, I dabble in pyrotechnics, but in a totally different way. I've gotten much better, but I mean, I have set a lot of things on fire in my yard just for the sake of setting things on fire. I would say Mark is probably, I just way more controlled and like, you know, I am very lucky.
Here's just throw the gas on it and light a match and see what happens.
Yeah. Or like, I remember once I put a bunch of like Black Cat firecrackers in a metal trash can in my yard and then shot Roman candles into it. I mean, I don't even know why I'm saying this right now. Nobody needs to know this about
Well,
me.
I mean, because it's fun and that's part of who you are and that's part of, you know, you and
how
me
I got
and
here.
How we, yeah. Well,
that's cool though.
Yeah, it's pretty cool, but you know, it's
Mark's OG.
Yeah, he really is. He really
OG
is.
OG restaurant.
He really is, and you really just can't go wrong with anything anywhere you eat in this town. It's pretty amazing. I really appreciate your time, and
I appreciate your time.
I want you to share the website and how people can get information on both the festival and Echo.
Yeah, so really easy. It's just connectbeyondfestival.com. You can see the lineup. You can buy tickets there. And echomountain.net. So,
yeah.
Echomountain.net.
Check it out, folks. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to HRN on Tour. Listen to all of our coverage at heritageradionetwork.org or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. and we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.